He ended up having sex with this woman. There was a problem, however. One is that the woman was married, and her husband happened to be out in battle while David was back at the palace.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe, and I'm enjoying bringing these teachings to you every day, Monday through Friday. And today, as I was praying, I just sensed of God that I needed to tell someone that's listening today over the radio, don't give up. That's right. Don't give up. You know, sometimes the answer to our prayer is right around the corner. Of course, the problem is we can't see around corners, but God can. And Scripture has a lot to say about perseverance. I mean, you can look at verse after verse after verse where God-inspired authors are saying, persevere, don't give up, hang in there, endure, because ultimately our character and the answers to our prayer come to those that persevere, trust God, and don't give up. So if you've been discouraged and about to let go of something, just give up, throw your hands up and say, forget about it. My word for you, someone specifically, is do not give up, because God is closer than what you think.
Indeed, Pastor Mark. Thank you very much. Tonight we are in a series called Finding Words, talking honestly with God. And Pastor Mark's message tonight is called Confession and Cleaning. We'll be in the book of Psalms, chapter 51 tonight. Here's Pastor Mark on tonight's Straight Talk.
I want to talk to you about what it means to cleanse the cup so God can fill it. I don't know about you, but have you ever, gone to the kitchen sink and you're really thirsty and you're looking for a clean cup there, and you pick a cup up and look, and inside it's got some grubby, nasty stuff inside that someone left from the day before. Some of you that live in bachelor pads say, yeah, that's all my dishes are like that. I mean, some of you got stuff like growing out of the top of those cups and almost have a life form of their own, but you wouldn't even think of putting clean water in a dirty cup. Because you want to pour fresh water in a clean cup. And so it is with God. I believe that God, during these next 21 days, wants to pour in you a fresh word, wants to renew your spirit, wants to give you a renewal of faith for the season that's coming. But I believe that we cannot offer to God cups that are already full with other stuff or cups that are dirty. We want to come to God with clean cups and say to God, here we are, Lord, clean, so fill us. So thus I've selected to speak out of Psalm 51, which is really a psalm about cleansing and confession. Now, when you hear the word confession, some of you have negative thoughts that go through your mind. Maybe you think of someone that's taken into the police station, and there's some people gathered around you trying to extract a confession out of you while you say, no, I didn't do it, no, I'm innocent, and sort of a forced confession. Or maybe you think of when you were young, your mother or father dragged you to a church and put you in front of a box called a confessional and said to you, now you need to take all your dirty, dark secrets and confess it to the man that's behind that door. And maybe it was a traumatic experience for you and you felt like a lot of shame when you did that. And so we have a lot of negative thoughts about this idea of confession. But confession really should be a regular, normal part of the Christian walk, in which we allow the cleansing power of God through confession and through the releasing of God's forgiveness in our life to restore us. In Psalm chapter 51, this is a psalm that David penned. I love David because he's like a prophet, artist, warrior. He wrote a bunch of songs and was a singer, artist, poet, but he was also a military warrior man. He was as comfortable with his harp as he was with a sword in his hand. God selected him. If you remember the story, out of the house of Jesse, the prophet Samuel was replacing the king Saul. Saul had been chosen by the people, but he had blown his chance to be king. And God said, I'm setting you apart and looking for a king after my own heart. And so he led Samuel the prophet to the house of Jesse. And Jesse had his sons there. They stood in front of Samuel. And Samuel said, hey, this guy looks like a king. Can I choose him? No, that's not the one. Well, hey, this guy looks like he would really be a great king. This one, no, now that's not the one. And he went through all of the sons. And then finally Samuel looked at the father Jesse and he said, do you have any other sons? And Jesse said, well, I have my youngest son and he's out with the sheep. And David must have been just merely a teenager. And they brought him in. And that's where the passage says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Aren't you glad God looks on the heart? God doesn't choose people because they look like a leader. God chooses people because they have the heart of a leader. God doesn't choose people based on what other people may perceive of their outward by the cover on the book. God chooses according to the content that's inside. So David was taken and he was anointed as king, although he still served as a shepherd. Years later, God would raise him up to be the king of Israel. He became the most significant kings of that era. In fact, he was the pivotal king of Israel. People would point back to King David. Jesus was a descendant of King David through Mary and through Joseph as well. Joseph's lineage was traced back to King David. God spoke to King David and he said, I will make your kingdom not have an end, because through the lineage of King David, Jesus would be born. David rose in power, became a king, led Israel, built a palace, and when he had solidified the unity of Israel and established his leadership over all of Israel, he became comfortable. And the Bible tells us that when he was probably in his early 50s, when kings go out to war, David decided to stay back instead of going out to war. He went out onto the balcony of his palace, and when he was looking over the city of David, what we now call Jerusalem, he saw a woman taking a bath. Her name was Bathsheba. Her name happened to be Bathsheba. Goes hand in hand because she was taking a bath. I'm sure it means something else in the Hebrew, so... And he saw this woman taking a bath and he looked at her and he thought, my, this woman is fine. He told his assistants to go bring this woman in and he ended up having sex with this woman. There was a problem, however. One is that the woman was married. And her husband happened to be out in battle while David was back at the palace. Word came to David a few weeks later that Bathsheba was pregnant. So David, instead of repenting, this man that had written, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, this man that had been called a man after God's own heart, this man that God had spoken to and said, your kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, this man decided to solve the problem. And so he called Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, back from the war front. And he thought to himself, I'll ask him to come back from the war front and give a report. While he's here, hopefully he'll go and sleep with his wife. And then when he does find out that she's pregnant, he will think it was him. And so he brought Uriah back, but Uriah was an honorable man. And Uriah said to King David, how could I go and sleep with my wife when my men are in the battle front fighting right now? So he didn't go into his wife. So David wrote a letter, gave it to Uriah, and he said, give this to your superiors. The letter in essence said, put Uriah at the front of the battle where he's most likely to die, and then pull your troops back. And so they did. Uriah went to the battle, and just as David anticipated, Uriah was killed in the battle. So here he is, King David, a man after God's own heart, a man that wrote most of the 150 Psalms that we find in the Bible, a man whose lineage is the lineage of the Messiah, he's committed adultery, organized the crime against the husband of the woman that he committed adultery with. And he moves on, almost as though no one will know. This chapter is a secret chapter. But sometimes when we don't listen to the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to our life, how many of you know that God will raise a prophet? Thank God for prophets in your life. How about it? That friend that says, hey, I know no one else is telling you this, but let me tell you. Someone that speaks boldly into your life because they love you enough to speak boldly. Oh, the Holy Spirit's been talking to you for some time, and you've heard the whisper, but you shut out the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when we shut out the voice of the Holy Spirit, sometimes God has to raise a voice through some other person that's willing to speak boldly into our life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have friends like that that have spoken into your life, and you're grateful for that? So God raises up a man by the name of Nathan. Nathan the prophet. You'll find it in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15. It said that Nathan the prophet came to confront David. And he said, David, let me tell you a story. There was a man that had a lot of sheep, and he owned a lot, and he was wealthy, and he prospered. And there was a man that had only one sheep. And this man with a lot of sheep went after the man that had only one sheep. And in order to get his sheep, he stole the sheep and killed the man. What should be done? And David was livid. He said, how could that injustice happen in my kingdom? Bring that man to justice. And Nathan said, you are that man. And Nathan went on to pronounce judgment upon the household of David and upon the child that had been born. David finally, for the first time in probably a year and a half, broke. And the Bible says that David, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15, it says, after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. And David pleaded with God. He fasted, and he spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Confession and Cleaning from Pastor Mark's new radio series called Finding Words, Talking Honestly with God. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church and about his book, Unstuck. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Psalms chapter 51 tonight. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Confession and Cleaning.
Judgment has been pronounced against him and his household, against the child that was born. And David is now fasting and praying in sackcloth before God, refusing to eat. And it's during this season of time that David writes Psalm 51. I want to read to you the beginning of Psalm 51, but I thought that it was important that you know the context. Here's a man that has sinned and is broken and is asking for restoration and cleansing for his heart. David says, have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin, well, it's always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret places. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David confessed. And today, as we approach our season of fasting and prayer and asking God to fill us and get ready for our season of really seeking God, I want to talk to you about confession and cleansing. And I want us to understand what real confession and cleansing looks like as we study Psalms chapter 51. What does real confession look like? If you're taking notes, jot this down. Number one, real confession looks to the compassion of God for cleansing. Notice David says, "Have mercy on me. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." I want you to notice that David, the reason, what he's appealing to, he knows that only God can wash him. Any confession based on the false idea that you can wash yourself is useless. If you have the idea that you can do penance for God to forgive you, if you have the idea that you can make up what you've done bad by doing good works, you're only adding to your debt before God. If you have the idea that you're going to walk more little old ladies across the street because maybe that will reduce the sentencing of your sin, you're only adding to your sin. If you're here in church today saying, "Pastor, I've, you know, really blown it, so I figure if I go to church 5 Sundays in a row, that should at least reduce the sentence of my sin before God," then you are only adding to your sentence. Because Scripture is very clear that it's only God and God alone that can wash and cleanse us. There's no effort that you can do on your own. There's no price that you can pay. There is no sacrifice that you can make that can wash your sins away. It is only God and the solution that God provides that can cleanse us. And so David calls unto God and he says, God, he appeals to the mercy of God. Have mercy on me. He appeals to the unfailing love of God. God, because of your love, I'm asking you to cleanse me. He appeals to the great compassion of God. God, because of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now, David didn't fully understand what was about to come through his lineage, but eventually, through his lineage, Jesus would come. And we understand today that the solution that God provides is the solution found in Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." If you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I just want to say that I've reached a level of perfection and I'm at a plateau where sin is no longer a problem in my life. All these mortal beings around me who still struggle with the battle of sin, preach it hard to them. But me, I reached a state of nirvana and of elevation and enlightenment in which sin no longer touches me. I'm so happy I'm a part of those few elite that never struggle with sin again." Now, that's what you're saying to me today. Here's what I know. You're a liar. I know you're a liar because the Word of God clearly states that when someone says they are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins. Some people mistake confession with admitting. There's a difference between admitting that I sinned and confessing that I sinned. Confession means that I not only acknowledge and take responsibility that I've sinned, but I also agree with the verdict that God has given about sin. Confession means I take responsibility for the fact that I've fallen and sinned, but I also agree that I've hurt the heart of God, that I deserve judgment, that my sin is grievous. And so I confess in agreement with how God looks at my sin. Some people think that confession is the same as admitting. How many of you know you can admit that you've sinned without ever repenting of your sin? Now let me say that again. You can admit that you have sinned without repenting of having sinned. Who took the cookie out of the cookie jar? You were the only one in the house. You were the only one in the kitchen. You have crumbs on your chin. I admit I did it. Is that repentance? And if I could do it again, I would do it again. No, that's not confession. That's admitting I've sinned. But it's not confessing that I've sinned. Confessing is agreeing with God about our sin. Confessing always brings about a sense of sorrow and repentance over our sin. I believe that we have sanitized sin. We've used words to avoid that three-letter word that says sin. We say things like, well, I made a mistake. We say things like, well, it's a personality fault. We say things, well, it's a sickness or disease that I have. And we do everything possible to avoid the word sin. Let me tell you, a mistake is, hey, I was walking in front of you, I opened the door, and accidentally slammed it in your face. That's a mistake. Adultery is not a mistake. Adultery is a pre-planned, driven by your flesh to satisfy the lust of your flesh with an individual that is not your spouse. Adultery is not a mistake. Adultery is pre-planned sin driven from your flesh. So stop calling it a mistake. It wasn't an accident. It was you choosing to fulfill the desires of your flesh. Let's call it what it is. Let's not sanitize it, excuse it, minimize it, generalize it. Sin needs to be called sin, or we never understand the full gravity of it. Are you with me this morning, this afternoon? Okay. So 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. I love that God is faithful. It doesn't mean that sometimes if he's in the mood, he will forgive us. It means that he's faithful and he will always forgive us. That he is faithful and that he's just. God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us our mercy instead of what we deserve. And he forgives us of our sins and purifies us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have no sin, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. The righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for also the sins of the whole world. Let me tell you something really clear this morning. In this generation and age that we live in, and it's always been, before Jesus ever came, the only way to attain from the sins was through what Jesus was going to do. Even before he had done it, God had a plan for our sins. Today, as we stand here today, there's not multiple ways to deal with the washing of your slate and cleansing of your soul. There's not a lot of methods and methodologies and programs and strategies and pathways to deal with your sin. The Bible is very clear with it. There is only one method given by God, approved by Almighty God, and that is the sacrifice of his son Jesus on the cross. Jesus sacrificed on the cross to pay not for his own sins, but to pay for the sins of humanity. The only way to have cleansing is not through sacrifice or any or good works or any other methodology. The only way to obtain cleansing from God is by receiving the gift that comes through his son Jesus Christ and accepting what he did on the cross as the payment for our sins. I hope you're clear on that today. If you've been attending New Life Community Church for a while, that should be foundational to your belief and where you stand in God. Amen? Okay. So, secondly, I'm talking about what true confession is. Secondly, real confession takes ownership of specific sin and where it came from. Ownership of specific sin and where it came from.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Finding Words, Talking Honestly with God. And tonight was the first half of his message called Confession and Cleaning. Join us again tomorrow for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free as a podcast with our Straight Talk app, which is available at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. There you'll find information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry and New Life Community Church. CDs are also available. Just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We can send those out for just $5 plus shipping. Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available, and those are only $10 plus shipping. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, our Straight Talk team. Thanks again for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow as we continue on with his message called Confession and Cleaning. Have a great night, and God bless.